to be your children, to calling us into salvation, calling us into a new life with you, an abundant life. Father, thank you for taking care of every single one of our needs and blessing us beyond that. And Lord, we thank you again, as we always do in this place, that you provide this place for us to come together to worship you, to hear from you, and to fellowship with one another. And Lord, we ask that you would fill us fresh with your Holy Spirit, the power of your Spirit. Give us ears to hear. We want to hear from you, Lord, and we know that you have something that you want to say to us. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Good evening, and you can have a seat. I just have a couple of announcements before we get started. So if you have not signed up for a class yet, Bible class, they're starting up this week, next week. So it's a great time to jump in, and you can ask at the table out there if you need more information for that. And then also our women's retreat. I hope you are all coming. I hope you're all registered. It's going to be a wonderful time. And here's the thing with retreats. It could be fun just getting away and having some time away from home and all of those responsibilities, but it is a time, a dedicated time, to spend with the Lord. And hopefully we all have a quiet time. And for some of us, it could be 10 minutes. Some of us, it could be an hour each morning. But this is a whole weekend to be with him, to get away from everything and then have a quiet heart to hear from him. And so for so many of us, we don't have the time or make the time to do that during our day or during the week. And on a weekend, we have that time, because that's what it's set aside for, to worship the Lord, to quiet our hearts, to hear from him, and then to respond to him. And then you get to have fellowship, too, with your sisters. So if you haven't even thought about, oh, maybe I should go, now you can think about that. You can pray about that and see if the Lord would have you to go. So you can actually sign up. If he's saying, yes, go, then you can do that tonight, okay? And then one other class that will be next Monday, we're doing a quarterly, those who are caregivers, a class. I did a class a couple of months ago, and we kind of all felt in the class that we needed this on a regular basis for those of us who are caregivers. So if that's you, or if you know that might be in your future, jump in and come and encourage the rest of those sisters who are in that season of life, Monday morning at 10 o'clock out in one of the classrooms. Okay, this is going to be great. I have very good news. I like to be the bearer of good news. No, I am not pregnant. That would not be good news for any of us. But you were handed a when you walked in the door. This is because we have very good news. So anytime tonight you hear a piece of good news, feel free, okay, to blow your horn, to say, yay, God, thank you so much, okay? So each one of us is so different in how, our different personalities, different temperaments, different ways we process things, and different ways that we process news, any kind of news, but especially negative or bad news. There are some people who can watch the news and know politics and all the stuff that's going on in the world, and they listen to it, they don't like it, but they can, it just doesn't bother them as much. And then there's others that can do that, and it bothers them way more than it should bother them. Some can process it very logically and unemotionally, and then others process it very emotionally and can't deal with it and can't listen to it and don't want to know about it. And some people like that, they just simply don't know about it and they go along being happy and skipping along because they don't know that the world is in such a mess. And then others know it and try to avoid it, but it's kind of hard. So no matter who we are and however we process it, we know that God gives us the power to overcome and to process any kind of news the way that he sees it, through his perspective. We're not going to get carried away because we don't want to miss out. So I haven't even gotten to the good part yet, girls. Okay, so some of us, it just takes a long time to learn and to grow into being able to process negative news the way that we should. Now, Damien, as you know, he likes news. He can listen to politics. He can watch, and he does. He records certain news shows and watches them every single night. Now, I don't want to listen. I have never voluntarily turned on the news in my entire life. I don't ever voluntarily read a newspaper. Okay, so I'm completely opposite that he is. He's a very empathetic person, but when it comes to the news, he can process it in the correct ways. And if it gets too much for him, then he'll skip one newscast or something like that, kind of a thing. Now, I process bad news emotionally, immediately. It's like I'm the person, I'm the thing, and it's I can't handle it. You know, that's how I am. I put myself there, I get overwhelmed, and then I start hating everybody that's bad and mean, and I don't like you, and I don't want to talk to you anymore, and go put my head in a hole. And today's newscasters, of course, they emphasize all the bad news, don't they? I mean, even with this storm that's coming in, you know, you better get in the house, you know, kind of a thing, and it's like, kind of a thing. But since Damien loves the news and he has the news on, he has the TV on, he's either, you know, he reads it on the internet, he's got his things, and then at night, at dinner, he turns on these couple of shows. And so, and you know, as he gets older, and because of his line of work years ago in manholes that were so loud, he's getting very hard of hearing. So the TV goes up louder and louder. And it's like, I'm in the other room, da-da-da-da-da, and I'm hearing the bad news. And no, so the best thing I did was I bought the headphones. It is, I don't know if you've done that, it's the greatest thing. Exactly. Because I don't know, only thing I know is his comments. Which then, like, I go, what did that guy do? You know, because I'm hearing his comments. So anyway, this has nothing to do with anything, but I thought about it. When I was growing up, it would say to my dad, what's new? His comment every single time was New York, New Jersey, Newfoundland, New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I ask Damien, could you tell me something good? Just tell me, did something happen today in the world that was good? I just want to hear something good. That's what I'm going to do tonight. I am going to tell you not one good thing, not two good things, but many good things. So this thing is going to be going off. So if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 47. We're just going to start there. If you take notes, you might want to jot down the scriptures that I'm going to share with you. Psalm 47, verse 8. God reigns over the nations, and God sits on his holy throne. I told Damien, I said, I asked Becky to go buy some of those blowers. He said, you women are very different than men. I said, yeah, could you see men? You know, I said, look, this has got some good news. This is going to be great. You have to get excited every once in a while. You've got to get excited if you're not one of those people who gets excited. I am not one of those people who, you know, Lucy gets excited a lot. It would be so nice to be her. I have to do a message like this and have a little horn. So that is definitely good news that God sits on his throne. He has never vacated it. He will never vacate it. He reigns over the nations. We look around and think, what? But he does. He has it all under control. He is in charge. He reigns over the entire world. All of its events, everything is right in place. And he is in control and in charge of our lives. And if we just said that and left tonight, we could blow our horn all week long, forever, because that's great news, just to know that. You just dwell on that this week. Just dwell on the fact that he's on the throne. Nobody else is on the throne. They all think they're in charge. They are not. The Lord turns the king's heart. He just, you know, okay, that looks bad, but I see the end. I'm doing good things. Isaiah 40. We all know that, but let's turn and read it together so we can see it and it can really settle into our hearts and our minds. Isaiah 40, verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hey, this is good news. Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he, God, who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and he spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. God's on the throne. He sits circled around. He looks down. We're just these little tiny things because our God is so big. That's good news. I was waiting for it. It's like, where are these horns, ladies? If you haven't tooted your horn yet, it's time. Very good. Okay, so I've got more good news. Okay? God doesn't change. His ways do not change. His plans do not change. His promises do not change. Yes, Malachi, you got to do it strong. Look. Okay, seriously, if you have not, pick up your little horn, please. All of you shy ones. Come on, you can do it. Julie? Julie, where is your horn? Julie doesn't have a horn. Michelle, get Julie a horn, please. Did we run out? You want to share my... Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Your friends change, your husband changes, your mother, your father, your siblings, your teachers, everybody, you change. You change your mind in the same second. You change your mind, you're wishy-washy, you go back and forth and you just don't know what to do. God doesn't change. His ways are perfect. He's on the throne, he's in charge, he's in control, and he doesn't change. That is wonderful. Psalm 102:27, but you, Lord, are the same, and your years will have no end. He doesn't change. Psalm 33:11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. His counsel stays the same. His wisdom from his word is still the same. The world has changed their way of thinking, don't you know? From what, when I was little, what was acceptable and not acceptable, now everything that was unacceptable is acceptable. And if you don't accept that used to be not acceptable, then something's wrong with you. I hope you followed that one. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea and amen to the glory of God through us. So all his promises, this entire Bible, it's true, it's going to stay forever. It doesn't change. There are two things that are eternal, the word of God and our souls. It doesn't change. Your emotions may change. This word doesn't change. Okay, more good news. God is for us. Romans 8. Let's go to Romans 8. Because so many people in this world are against us as believers. Romans 8. Beginning in verse 35. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It is. It is the best news ever. Isn't it? Just that handful of verses. Yes. Yay. Psalm 139, 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. He's for us. His thoughts are toward us. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And then we know, okay, he's got all these thoughts toward us, but they're good thoughts. Jeremiah 29, 11, for I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you future and hope. Come on. I love this. Psalm 118, 6, the Lord is on my side. He is for you. Isn't that great? The Lord's on your side. I don't care what they tell you at work, what they tell you at school, what they tell you wherever else you go or in your own home. The Lord is for you. Now, I got more good news. First, have any of you ever sinned, fallen short? Well, I have more good news. We are forgiven. We are cleansed. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How great is that? We are forgiven and cleansed. And that's great news, but that's not all that goes with that. Not only are we forgiven, but our sins are forgotten. Wow. Because we can forgive other people their sins that they've sinned against us. We can, when we blow it, we can say, okay, Lord, forgive me. Thank you that you forgive me. But who remembers it? We do. Other people do. But God doesn't. Psalm 103, 11 and 12. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. You just, yes. It never catches up. Isaiah 43, 25. I, God says, even I am he who blots out your transgressions. For my own sake, I will remember not your sins. No more. He doesn't remember. We go to him again with that same sin, and he said, what sin? I forgot that. Yes, I'll forgive you for this sin. But, you know, he doesn't keep score. He doesn't keep track of it. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, we keep track of it. Okay, I got more good news. He gives us a new beginning every day. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Maybe some mornings you have to wake up and you have to remind yourself, I am brand new. I don't have to remember yesterday and all of that. I am brand new. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. He's renewing us. We're brand new, and he just keeps working in that newness in our lives. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we don't lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, if that were all, we could all leave and just have a great life, a great time, but there's more. God will provide for us. He always meets our needs. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is a wonderful thing. Whatever I need, he will provide. From Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is speaking about, look at the lilies of the field and the birds of the air and how your heavenly Father feeds and clothes them and takes care of them. And then Jesus said, for your heavenly Father knows the things that you need. He knows you need all these things. He will provide those things for you. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and my God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have abundance for every good work. He is providing for us on a daily basis, our daily bread and beyond. All sufficiency. I'm giving you everything that you need. Psalm 85, don't be hesitant. This might be annoying some of you. I don't know if it is or not. But, you know, it's a once, we've never done this before, okay? So this is it. So this is your chance to break out of that shell. And I think we should walk around with these all the time. Somebody says something good. Right? Psalm 85, 10 through 13. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. He provides for us. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. This state does not deserve this rain. And look what he's done for all the farmers out there. Psalm 36, 7 through 9. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Isn't that great? I mean, he just continues to provide for us and bless us. And I read something in a devotion recently, and I want to share it with you because it just blessed me. From Elizabeth Elliot's A Lamp Unto My Feet. And she uses the verse Psalm 84, 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So she tells this story. She said, yesterday, we looked at a piece of property on the sea in Massachusetts. Wherever Massachusetts is, it's behind the sanctuary. There were lovely woods to one side, two tall, scraggly, very picturesque pine trees on the other, huge rocks that turned pink in the sunset below, and in the front, miles and miles of blue ocean. She said, it's not always easy to know whether a thing that we long for is a temptation from Satan to distract us from obedience and to make us discontent, or is it something God actually wants to give us and therefore wants us to pray for? Now, can you imagine her? If you know her life, she lived in the jungle. Her husband was killed and martyred, and she lived in a hut with no walls. I mean, she just... when she came and spoke here years ago at 10th and F, and you know, we give her the honorarium, she asked that the check be made out to a missions group. She didn't have much of her own. Would she dare ask for this beautiful piece of property on the ocean and this beautiful house? Can you imagine? You live in a jungle, and now the Lord's... You're thinking, is this from him? She said, there is no such thing as something too good to be true. God is loving and lavishly generous and has promised to give what is good. That is what he who is omniscient knows to be good for us. So today I asked him to give me the prayers he wants me to pray and to give or withhold anything according to his plan for me. Nothing is too big to ask of him, not even an ocean lot. It is God's business to decide if it is good for me. It is my business to obey him. And I thought I would share that because maybe there's somebody here that you just kind of don't know if you should be wanting or praying for a particular thing. I don't know what it could be. It could be a healing. It could be something material. It could be a husband. I don't know. It could be anything. Sometimes God just wants to bless us really big. He provides for us. He provides our needs, but he is such a good guide. He blesses us beyond that. Okay, another blessing here, another good piece of good news. He will direct our paths. I pray that every day, Lord, this verse, Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his way. Lord, I know the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I want to follow, you know, in those footsteps. I know you have something for me today. He directs our paths, so I don't have to wonder, oh, am I going in the right way when I've asked? I'm going. This is the right way. Even if it all goes wrong, this is the right way for me to go in today. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. What great promises, what great news that is. So I don't have to be wishy-washy and indecisive and just not know what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to ask, and I'm going to trust him to lead me and take me right out to that table and register for the retreat. And I say that for your benefit, because the Lord will meet you there and do great things. Okay, I've got one more. Christ is the victor. Jesus already won. Yes. He said on the cross, it is finished. Colossians 2:13-15, he has made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Praise the Lord. That is the best news. I don't have anything against me. That's right. He did it all. I don't have to earn anything. I don't have to do anything. The bad guys are not going to get me. He's took care of it all. Evil trembles in his presence. Remember that. James 2:19 says, even the demons believe in God and tremble. The wickedness around us and around in this world that wants to make us tremble, we can say, you're going to tremble. You tremble in his presence, not I'm welcome in his presence. That's great news. Psalm 118:6. Again, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. That is great news. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's great. Okay, I said that was the last one, but I really do have one more because you know we could be here forever because there's so much more good news, right? Okay, the last thing, the rapture. It's going to happen at any time. Jesus said, surely I am coming quickly. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. And then we'll be in heaven, face to face with him, away from all of the wickedness, away from all the bad news. There's only good news in heaven. And we need to live like we're there. He sees us seated in heavenly places. He sees us already there. So we need to live like that. So if you start getting discouraged, the next time you hear bad news, or if it's just your own thoughts or whatever, remind yourself of these promises. Remind yourself of all of this good news. put this on your dresser or in your bathroom or where your car. Just this will remind you there's good news. There's good news. So you can stand and you can run this race this year strong and hard. And Father, thank you for every piece of this good news and your book that is full of good news. And Lord, when the clamor of the world wants to distract us and discourage us, I pray, Lord, that you would turn our gaze to heaven, that our eyes would be fixed on you, and that we would look to you and remember all of these promises, that you are on the throne, you are in control. Thank you and praise you, Lord. Thank you for my sisters. Thank you for their hearts that rejoice over these promises. Thank you that you let us have a little bit of fun, Lord, and these little horns that make us maybe laugh, but it's the joy of the Lord, and we praise you for that, Lord. Would you bless my sisters? Go before us this week, Lord, and remind us of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. How about we stand up?